Bryce Perkins makes his first start in the NFL, the good, the bad, and everything in between. That's coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Not only do I host the Locked On Rams pod, I also host the Rams pre-half and post-game show on their flagship station, ESPN 710. So if you are in and around the Los Angeles area and you would like to listen to that, we start about 2 hours before every game. And then immediately following the game, Kirk Morrison and I have you covered with all things Rams. Make sure you click that subscribe button on your podcast feed. It's a good way to make sure you get your Rams content every single day. I would also encourage you to check us out on YouTube. Our Locked On Rams YouTube page is a great way to take in the pod as well. Let me remind you that today's pod is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to do your daily fantasy sports. You know how to do it by now, right? It's the daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. All right, so here's what we want to get to on today's pod. Is this season, this absolutely disastrous season that finds the Rams at 3-8 through the first 11 games of the season, actually good for Sean McVay? We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. And with all of that in mind, what do you play for in these final 6 games of the season? Because the Rams may not win another game. I think they'll get to 4-5's a possibility, but 3 is not off the board. So what exactly are you playing for? That's just around the corner. But let's start right here. Let's start with Bryce Perkins, who made his first ever NFL start on Sunday against the Chiefs, and really in circumstances that can only be described as next to impossible to try and win the football game. So here's what he was going up against. He was going up against the best team in the league by a lot of people's metrics, a team that's the top seed in the AFC, a team that might have the single most hostile environment in the entire NFL at Arrowhead Stadium, a team that has a defense that gets after the quarterback, a team that has the fourth most sacks in the league, and your offensive line is makeshift would be a massive upgrade. You had your fifth string left tackle making his NFL debut in the very same game. You don't have your number one wide receiver. You don't have your number two wide receiver. They just fired the number one running back. And oh, by the way, you have only had 1 week of practice to get ready for this. So yeah, the odds of him going in there and winning that game were not great. And they didn't. And, you know, they lose the game convincingly. They lose the game 26-10. Let's talk about some of the good things and some of the bad things in that. Let's talk about the thing that I liked the most that I saw from Bryce Perkins on the weekend. They did have a extended drive that covered 75 yards, took 10 plays, and culminated in his first and at this point only NFL touchdown pass to Van Jefferson. That drive is the building block. That when you're done with the day, and you're trying to figure out, hey, when you're showing Bryce Perkins the film and you're trying to get him to give you more of the good stuff, this is the good stuff. This was good decision-making. This was good reads from a quarterback perspective. This was understanding when the play is over and getting the heck out of there. This is making plays with your legs. This is throwing the ball with anticipation. This is throwing the ball accurately and with conviction. And that's a big deal, right? When you saw John Wolford a couple of weeks ago when he played, there was that double pump, like I'm going to wait for you to get open just a little bit and then I'm going to let it go. There wasn't a ton of that with Bryce Perkins. There was a lot of throws with anticipation, a lot of bad throws in there too. We'll get to that in a second. But these were not throws of I'm going to wait a half a second longer. Guys are not wide open in the NFL. Very rarely are guys wide open. You have to throw them open. You have to anticipate that moment when they're about to be open and put the ball there on time. I thought he did a really good job with that. I thought that was an impressive drive for him. He had one against Kansas City. If you can get two or three against Seattle, I think that's a major step forward. I think that's something that he can build on from there. I love the guy's calm. I really do. That this is somebody that really hasn't played a lot of football in a couple of years, right? You had the COVID season. You had last season, which he didn't play at all. And this is the first time that he played most of the preseason, got a little bit of action last week and a half against New Orleans. But this was his first real NFL game speed action as the guy. And I thought he handled it pretty well. Listening to him talk afterwards, he didn't seem like he was over his skis. He didn't seem like this was something that he wasn't prepared for. He didn't play particularly well, but he wasn't overwhelmed by it. And look, I'm going to kind of do it back. Jared Goff has become a serviceable NFL quarterback and is having a nice season in Detroit, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he seems to have found a place that is a good fit for him. But let's go back to when Jared Goff first made his debut here with the Rams. He not only wasn't very good, it looked like he'd been, you know, shell-shocked. He looked terrified. He not like physically terrified, but I don't know what the hell's going on out there. When you'd hear him talk afterwards, it seemed like somebody who was brand new to this league, again, a little younger than Bryce Perkins, but just was really sped up by the whole process. None of that with Bryce Perkins. I liked that a lot. The stuff that I did not like as much, obviously a couple of interceptions, one of them a batted ball, which, you know, kind of one of those things that's going to happen every once in a while. But, you know, you have multiple turnovers. You're almost never going to win a game with multiple turnovers. And the biggest complaint that I had about him was what Sean McVay called procedural issues, what I'm just going to call the logistics of playing quarterback, which is getting the play in from the sidelines, communicating it to the other 10 guys in the huddle, and then going out there and executing the play accordingly. We saw the Rams take a bunch of weird timeouts. We saw them have to get – there's a delay penalty, and it just seemed like at no point were they ready to go right before the clock expired. To be expected, but again, he did have a week. He did have some time with the ones. I would have liked to have seen that cleaned up a little bit better. That if we're going from one good drive to hoping that we get three good drives next week against Seattle, as far as the procedural issues, I think I'd like to see from what I would describe as a whole hell of a lot on Sunday against the Chiefs to very, very little of it going forward. I understand it's a different language. It's a lot. There's a lot to spit out every single week, but I would like to see that improve quicker than the actual football itself. The football will either come or it won't. He'll either be a good NFL quarterback or he won't. We're not going to know after a game or two, which brings us to the next question. What is left to play for this season, both from a win total perspective, from a draft perspective, and a personnel perspective? That's all coming up next on Locked On Rams. This episode of Locked On Rams is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we are sure you're absolutely going to love. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. You're saying to me, hey, Trav, what's Block Forever? Well, Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. They have conversations about football that take you entirely to the next level. It gives you an insider's look at the game through the eyes of the greatest players and personalities of all time. For instance, you'll hear Christian McCaffrey talk about his love-hate relationship with fantasy football. Juju Smith-Schuster talks about his opinions on other players and positions in the league. It is a fantastic listen. Can't recommend it highly enough. It's available for free on Audible or wherever you get your podcast. Catch the full Block Forever series available anywhere you get your pods, available everywhere right now. Audible, get in the game. Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen today. For your second listen today, check on the Locked On Sports Today pod. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so what's left to play for the Rams here in the 2022 season? Hey, let me give you a little bit of some sobering news of what's left for this team. They're 3-8. They've lost 5 in a row. They've lost 7 of their last 8 games. Their best win of the season was Arizona, which feels like a lifetime ago. And the fact of the matter is, I don't know if the Rams are going to be favored in any of these games remaining, maybe with the exception of one, the Denver Broncos on Christmas Day. Yes, Christmas Day, the 3-win Los Angeles Rams, the 4-win as we currently sit here right now, Denver Broncos, is your standalone game on Christmas, which brings me to this point. The Rams have 6 games left. Their 2 games against the Seattle Seahawks are the only 2 games that they have this year, or the remaining this year, that are not primetime, standalone, everybody's going to see them kind of games, right? When they play the Seahawks on Sunday, it's a 1 o'clock kick. There'll be other games going on. When they play the Seahawks at the end of the season, it will be a 1 o'clock kick, and there'll be a lot of other games going on. There are 4 other remaining games, at least at this point, are all going to be front and center. You've got the Raiders next week, a week from this upcoming Thursday night game, you're all by yourself. Week after that, Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. Not a very good team, but Lambeau Field, tough place to play. Everybody's going to see you play that one. You've got a Sunday night game against the Chargers, which will likely get flexed out of that spot because the Chargers are better than the Rams, but they're not having a particularly strong season anyway. So they're probably going to get swapped out there. And then, of course, that Christmas game that I mentioned to you. So what do you have to play for, the question? Not being humiliated? Not being embarrassed in front of a national TV audience 4 separate times, potentially. Look, I get it. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and Bobby Wagner, and I guess there's some players on the offensive side. They got a lot of pride, and they are getting paid a lot of money, and they need to show up and show out in some of these games. And look, if you're going to put on that uniform, losing every week for 3 months, which is what the Rams are potentially looking at right now, you're playing for pride. You know, and you know, the name on the front of your chest, right? The Tommy Lasorda. We're not playing for the name on the back. We're playing for the name on the front. You play for the Dodgers. You don't play for the team or the name on the back of your jersey. Well, we may be getting to the point where you're going to need to start playing for the name on the back of your jersey, because while you may be able to not win a game the rest of the year if you're on the Rams right now, you can make some plays. You can make an impact. I think that's a big part of what we're going to see over the next few weeks, month and a half or so. The other part that you have to play for is your job, is your space on this team. Because look, while the Rams team this year has been incredibly disappointed, while the record clearly is not what anybody was hoping for, 3-8 and counting, this is about as rock solid an organization as you could want to be a part of. This team has one of the best young coaches in the league. They have a very aggressive general manager. They have an owner that's willing to spend money. You're in a marquee city that gets a ton of attention, that comes with an incredible amount of opportunities aside from just playing football. You play in the best football stadium, maybe the best stadium on earth, and you get to live in Los Angeles. These are good things. You want to stay here or not? Well, you better show me that you deserve to stay here. Because, and I'll use this as an example of one of the things that we were just talking about. Matthew Stafford has that Little Caesars commercial, right? And I get it. Little Caesars is a Detroit-based company, and Matthew Stafford's from Detroit, and it's a good fit. You see a lot of national Matthew Stafford commercials prior to him being on the Rams, prior to him being a Super Bowl champion. Nope. Opportunities are here. It happens. You got a lot of opportunities here. And by the way, the Rams are going to be good again before too long. This season, bust. Nothing worked out the way that anybody was hoping. We could spend hours talking about it. We have spent hours talking about it. It's been a bust. Hasn't worked out. They're going to be good again. You know why? Because Stan Kroenke will spend money. Les Snead is aggressive in acquiring players. And Sean McVay knows what he's doing. Sean McVay will learn a lot from this season moving forward. In fact, that's what we'll talk about coming up in the next segment of Locked On Rams. What, you know, is this actually a good thing for him? But so you got that to play for too, your job in this spot. And number two, your job in the rest of the league. Because if you are one of these Rams offensive linemen who's out there right now that's not named Rob Havenstein, that maybe isn't named Coleman Shelton, but if you're really almost any of the other guys on that line right now, you are putting work on film. Because Bobby Evans is not coming back to this team. Maybe A.J. Okurie is. Maybe some of these other guys, Odey Obuchi or Jeremiah Colone or any of these. We'll see. But if you want to play in this league, you're going to have to put something on film that people can see, because this is it, right? You're not going to just get a job because somebody likes the way that you walk into the room. They're going to go back and look at the film. And before, there might not have been a lot of film on these guys, but now all of a sudden there is. I can go look and see if Bobby Evans, okay, let's say, that's not very good. Ooh, I don't know about that. You are not only trying to keep your job here in Los Angeles, potentially, you're trying to earn a job on one of the 31 other teams, or at least an invite to a camp, potentially. Everybody is going to see this film, good, bad, and everywhere in between. This has not been a good year for Rams depth, and the Rams are going to look other places, and there are going to be some opportunities other places for some of these Rams players, but not if they go on an 11-game losing streak, not if this is something that is completely unfixable. Defensively, they've hung around. Defensively, I thought they actually did a pretty good job yesterday against the Chiefs. They got a couple of turnovers and everything else. Those guys, I think, are going to be much better off than the guys on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of the guys that the Rams are going to play with, that they've been playing with this season, not only will they not be with the Rams next year, I think you might see a lot of these guys in the league next year after the performances that they've put together. All right, so is this season a good deal for Sean McVay in the long term? As bad as it's been, can you learn a few things along the way? That's coming up next on Locked On Rams. Have you started playing Prize Picks yet? It's the best way to do daily fantasy football. It is so much fun. It's so easy. It's so quick to do it. These are just a few of the reasons that I absolutely love Prize Picks. Here's how it works. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. For instance, Patrick Mahomes, you think he's going to go over 300 yards? Above or below? You decide. Derrick Henry, above or below 100 yards? You make the decision, right? You can look at all the projections and all the sports that you like, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, when it comes back, golf, college football, college basketball. If you like it, they love it at Prize Picks. Safe and fast to withdraw your money and currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app. Go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50 as well. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcast. My name is Travis Rogers. Click that subscribe button both on our Locked On Rams YouTube page and right there in your podcast feed. So 3-8 has been awful, right? I mean, this was a team that won the Super Bowl last year. This was a team that I didn't think that they would win the Super Bowl again for no other reason than nobody wins the Super Bowl in back-to-back years. It's been 20 years. Since the last team that did it, and that was with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and everything that that means. So it's really hard to do. I did not expect them to, you know, run it back. I expected them to try and run it back, to be in position to win their division, to be in position to go to the playoffs, to be in position to play meaningful football past Thanksgiving. None of those things are happening. Season's over. They will not play a meaningful game, at least as far as the result of the game, until next September. It's a long time away. They're going to have to figure out what they have from a roster. They're going to have to figure out who they like, who they don't like, and everything that we've talked about. I think one of the hidden silver linings, and it's you got to look hard to find it, but I do think that it's there, is Sean McVay, I think, will be a better coach because of this. If he can stomach what he's going through, and there are some reports out there that maybe this will accelerate him. Sean McVay is a lot of things, and one of them at the very top of the list is ultra, ultra competitive. That dude does not have it in him to, oh, I had one bad season, peace, I'm going to TV. Not a chance. I really don't see that happening at all. What I do think he's going to pull from this is how to deal with very difficult times, how to make very difficult roster decisions, how to try to find offense when there are not great players all over the place. So when the great players do come back and are available to go, he will be better off because of it. This is something that he really hasn't had to do. That first year is really the only year that I think is quasi-comparable, but they had good players. Jared Goff was the number one pick in the draft. You had guys like Robert Woods that were there, Brandon Cooks that was there. You go out and get Andrew Whitworth, who is a pro's pro. And while maybe the expectations were a little lower, there's a lot of talent on that team. Todd Gurley was there. Todd Gurley was a terrific player. This team does not have a bunch of those guys, not on the offensive side of the ball, and certainly not right now, certainly not for the last couple of weeks. They're going to play the better part of 12 games with a roster that doesn't have an offensive roster, and let me be specific, which is where Sean McVay's expertise lies, that doesn't have a ton of talent. How do you find points? How do you get it done? It sucks to go through with it, but it's going to serve him better in the long run. And just understanding that, you know what, I thought this was going to work. When to cut bait, when to just say this doesn't work. Clearly, Tutu Atwell is not a viable NFL player in this particular offense. Move on. You learn your lesson that, hey, listen, didn't work out. Just not going to happen. We got to keep it moving from here and go right on down the line. Evaluate your draft process. Evaluate your assistant coaches. You know, maybe the brain drain that's been going on around Sean McVay will slow down a little bit, that you're not losing all of your assistants along the way. It felt like, every year, well, there goes two more guys that are head coaches somewhere else. That's not happening this year. Maybe Raheem Morris will get a shot, and he certainly deserves one. But this could slow down that process. This could allow you to self-reflect, to self-evaluate, something that I think is incredibly difficult to do. And it needed to be done. It's lousy that it has to go through with a 3 or 4 or 5 win season, which feels like where the Rams are going to end up this season. But ultimately, I think that he will be a better coach because of it. I'd rather just go win 12 games every year. But this is life in the NFL. This is how it goes. Unless you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to have a bad season periodically, right? The Rams just had 5 years of success that there's not another team in football that wouldn't trade it straight up. Not one of maybe the Chiefs. Maybe that's it, right? But the last 5 years, there's not the Patriots, not the Dallas Cowboys, not the Green Bay Packers, not the San Francisco 49ers. Nobody. 2 Super Bowl appearances in 5 years, a Super Bowl championship, 4 playoff appearances in 5 years. Yeah, you're going to take that. And Sean McVay will be a better coach having gone through this year when he gets to the job next year. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Thanks for making us your first listen every single day. Now for your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today pod. Biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.